Welcome to I Am Anna Man.
Well, it was the Easter weekend.
How do you feel? Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why all the bunnies and the hunting. Oh, goodness, of course. It was the Easter weekend. Mm. Did you go on a hunt? I went on a sort of hunt after my best friend, Sue Clinch. You know her? You ever met her?
Well, you've mentioned her
before. I've mentioned her before. Lovely Sue. She's not well, bless her. Oh. She's not well. Let's say she can get to the birdcage. She can open the cage. The bird's there, but she hasn't got any seed for it. And the bird's getting really angry.
Right.
Yeah, and the cage, of course, is once again, is a toilet. I mean, she's a massive hypochondriac. She's the only woman I know to have ingrown earlobes.
How does that...
That's what she says she's got. I don't know. To me, they're just earlobes. But she swears that they're burrowing their way into her jaw.
Oh.
And that eventually they will come out as a sort of two extra tongs, you know, just dangling around. I mean, she's mad. Don't get me wrong. She's absolutely mad. I mean, we've been through a lot. We've shared a lot of husbands. You know, I mean, when I started this podcast, I remember Sue, I wasn't sure about doing it, of course, as you remember. You know, they told me not to do it, okay? Mm. They said, Anna, don't do it, okay? Stick to what you're good at, sleeping and crying, okay? Somebody's going to get hurt. It'll be Aliens the Musical all over again.
Yeah.
You know, little rip of recognition there, Phil. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. No one in space can hear me scream. A boy, can they hear me sing?
Yes.
You remember?
Great.
He's no good for you, says Mummy. Put a creature in your tummy. He's up to no good. He's got acid for blood. But I can't help it if I love him. It closed the first night. Seriously, they were handing out P-45s during the interval. That was before anyone had died. I was working on a film with Sue, funnily enough, with Sue Clinch. It was called Fear the Gorilla People.
Right.
Do you remember that? It's from way back in the 1970s. I think it was 72.
Right.
Okay. It was one of our first jobs. You know, Sue and I had just come out of Leicester with a vengeance, as they say. You know, you don't leave Leicester with anything less than a vengeance, trust me. We were going to be stars, you know, no matter who we had to kill. And we ended up on this wonderful production called Fear the Gorilla People. It was directed by three people, actually,
right,
which was very difficult because they all demanded that they talk at the same time. So you had to watch these guys with a laser focus, you know, as an actress, you had to kind of be watching and listening because they were all coming at you. I wasn't the chief gorilla person.
No.
Sue got there first, okay? Sue got there first. But at the end of the day, she got there based on looks.
Yeah.
So I feel slightly better that I wasn't the chief gorilla person, you know, because they only had to use minimal makeup.
Mm.
Bless her, you know, she's not well. She never has been. You know when people are just awful?
It's just psychological.
Psychological, but also, I don't know, is it possible to be spiritually ill?
Do you think she's possessed?
I think she might be possessed. Oh God, I haven't thought about that. I think she might be possessed. What do you do if someone's possessed?
I suppose an exorcism.
Do you believe in possession?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you say that, but once I was touring in Italy, touring round the barns, the farmyards, you know, it was wonderful. It was when I was with my late husband, Sir Peter Runway. We were in a little rep company, and there was me, there was Sir Peter, Sir James, Sir John, Sir Tony, and then Clive.
Yeah.
Clive wasn't allowed to be a sir. But anyway, we travelled round these barns, and it was so much fun. We'd just done a little performance of Where's My Elephant?
Right.
You know, with the where there's the man's running around. It's wonderful. It's promenade theatre. Stuff is happening around you. Okay, so what you do is we sort of take over the whole street. You know, it's very avant-garde.
Do you do it in the road?
Oh, we just do it anywhere. Oh. We do it in the road, so Peter would be under a manhole, popping out. You know, so John would be behind a truck. You know, and I would just be swinging on a telephone wires, you know, which was incredibly dangerous, on an umbrella, like this. And it would only work for one... It's now called pranking. We'd turn the town into a play.
So they wouldn't know.
They wouldn't know they were in it, you know. Right. But then we'd effectively go, you know, ta-da, what did you think of the show? You know, and they would say Italian stuff. And then we would just hold our hands up and take money from them. And you know, if they didn't want to give the money because they didn't like the show or they didn't understand what was going on, that would be fine. But in which case, Sir Peter would just mug them.
Yeah.
Because we had to eat.
Sort of
actors are important people. It's a form of...
Sort of a sort of aggressive theatrical begging.
Very aggressive, very theatrical begging. Yes, I think that's one way of looking at it, or mugging. But you can't be arrested for it, is the wonderful thing. And I say this to my nephew is a criminal. He burgles houses. And I say this to him, do it, wear a sort of clown suit or something, you know, which would be terrifying, by the way. Yeah. Or do it in as a character. Wear a wig, paint your face. Hands up to it, you know? I mean, who's the bigger thief? The burglar or the bank? Burglars break in, they take your stuff. Banks, what do? They just loan you money.
Mm.
I think it was Brecht who first... Who's the bigger criminal? The banks or the burglar?
Mm.
The burglar takes your stuff. The banks give you an account with them. Who's the big burglar? Something like that.
Yeah.
It's a powerful piece. And it really, you come out thinking, wow, you know, society, it's like the ground is the ceiling.
Mm.
All of society is just flipped upside down. You don't know whether you're coming or going. It's a wonderful play. What were we talking about? Yes, so I say to my nephew, Charles, dress up.
Mm.
You know, put some makeup on, because if they catch you, you can say, I don't know what you're thinking that I'm doing, officer. I'm doing a performance piece, and it's actually very important.
Mm.
I was always going to put the stuff back.
Mm.
That's not... It's an educational piece. So we're doing one of our plays, you know, and we haven't done well that day. I mean, Sir Peter, he's only managed to get about... He was a great guy, Sir Peter. Mm. Reminds me a bit of you. You know,
that's
he's
nice.
A very horny chap.
Okay.
Couldn't keep in his pants.
Right.
He was a flasher. That's okay. How we met. Of course, that's what killed him in the end. Sometimes you flash the wrong person, and
who did he flash?
It wasn't a person. Is the problem?
Oh,
it was a lion at the zoo. He flashed it.
Yeah.
I guess he was one of the original extreme flashers. You know, he you know those people nowadays who climb on top of buildings and take selfies. You know, of themselves,
yeah.
Selfie, and they climb on top of very high things. You know, like I don't know, a barn.
Yeah,
or well, probably higher than a barn. I don't know. What's have you seen them?
Yes, yeah, so Eiffel Tower. Or,
oh,
you know,
my nephew
or
Charles showed me one, and I just threw up instantly. It's too much.
Mm.
Do you get vertigo?
Oh, yeah. Yes, very much. Yeah,
I suffer from vertigo just from lying on the floor. You
really?
Know, that's... Yeah, I really do. I have to take a lot of pills just to get up.
Yeah.
You know. Ecstasy. But, no, my nephew showed me a video, and this chap, he was up on... It was in Russia somewhere. Because they're all mad in Russia,
yeah.
You know. They're all mad. I did a little play in Russia. It was very risque. You know, we hated suppression, oppression.
Mm.
I've always hated oppression, repression,
yeah. Mm.
Suppression.
Yeah.
Extermination
yeah.
Of insects, even.
Mm-hmm.
I won't allow it. I won't allow it. That's why my house is riddled with ladybird.
Yeah.
But I've always been against oppression and the Soviet Stalin. You know, that was the worst of the worst in a way. So we went out there and we thought, if an actor is for anything, what's it for? Changing the world.
Right.
So we thought, let's go out. You know, it was after Sir Peter, sadly, with the lion. This was with Tony Trails, who was more of a fun guy. You know, he was more of a sort of Tony Trails, Tony Trails, Tony Trails, Tony Trails, Tony Trails, Tony Trails, Tony Trails. Do you remember that song?
No.
It was in the charts. Me and Tony Trails went out to Soviet Russia. We thought, let's go for it.
Hmm.
All right, let's go for it. Let's not beat around the bush. These are oppressed people.
Yeah.
Someone's got to free them. Okay? So it was called Fuck Stalin.
Right.
Right?
Brave.
Very brave. Very brave. We did the first performance, you know, and Tony Trails was like, Anna, I'm not sure about this. I mean, they're going to get really angry.
Hmm.
Potentially, this could go really wrong. We could end up in a gulag.
Yeah.
And I said, what's more important, us not being in a gulag or an entire people being oppressed or in a gulag or whatever? And we did it. We did it. Fuck Stalin. You know, we really went for it. We did the whole 4 hours and 80 minutes.
Wow.
We were dicing with death,
yeah.
You know, because the whole thing is just that. There's a bit where where Tony Trails dressed as Stalin and I just fucked him.
What? Well, right.
There was a bit where... we dressed a dog as Stalin, and we sort of took it for a walk, and then it did a, you know, it pooed, and we cleaned its poo up, and we threw it at the crowd. It was called Theatre of the, it's sort of, what's it called again? Theatre of the Dicks, which is where, you know, it's like doing theatre, but being a real dick about it, you know? That's Theatre of the Dicks, it's called. Théâtre de la Dix, I think, is the original. Kind of like Commedia dell'arte.
Okay.
But everyone had dicks, you know, and were dicks. So it was really going for, you know, and we were spraying, Tony was pissing at the audience. And
he was really...
pissing at the audience. And we kept building these towers out of Duplo and stuff. It just took ages and ages, just building. And then I just push it over.
Yeah.
And it was so frustrating to watch, you know, because you'd get so high and then knock it down again. Oh, mad stuff like that, you know, mad stuff. At one point I ate a sheep's eye. You know, great stuff, really challenging, really thought-provoking, really made you think. You know, at one point Tony shaved a bit on stage, just shaved a bit, bit of his beard, not all of it, just a bit, just trimmed it, really. But it was challenging, you know, made you think, made you go, ooh.
What did it make you...
ooh, maybe things aren't quite right here. Yeah. Maybe I do need to think a bit differently.
Okay.
And at one point, Tony got a bit of wood and a nail and just started hammering it in, you know. And it was quite annoying.
Mm.
Quite an annoying sound. So it was really pushing stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And we could have been taken away, you know, at any point during those 4.5 hours, we could have been taken away by the secret police and we would have never been seen again. And that would have been it.
You know?
That would have been it. But luckily, no one came.
Oh,
that's what saved us.
Yeah.
That's what saved us. That's the wonderful thing about Theatre of the Dicks. Mm. So few people know about it, and those that do don't like it and would do anything not to have to come. So you can really, you know, Tony at one point just wrote boundary on a bit of paper and just pushed it around the room, you know, and it was like, oh, God. At one point I sneezed, and actually... we ended up that night after the play, we went to a bar chatting about how we thought it went.
Mm.
Tony was in tears. And I was saying, Tony, I think it was really good. I think people liked it. And he said, he was like, Anna, how could you say people liked it? No one was there.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, I mean, there might have been people listening. There might, you know, it's not, is theatre about people seeing it? Is theatre still, do you need someone to see it for it to be theatre?
I think yes.
But you don't know.
No.
That's the thing, I do. And I think just getting on a bus is theatre, you know?
Yeah.
Writing your own will is theatre.
Is it?
You know? Talking to the postman, baking a flan, switching a light on and off for a bit. I mean, it's all theatre.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't matter. This is what I tried to say to Tony, and Tony was absolute floods of tears. Funnily enough, there were some of the sort of secret police types were there.
Oh.
Funnily enough, in this bar, you know, we're all Nastorovia, you know, and drinking the vodka, and we all had a great time, actually.
Yeah.
And actually, I thought they were all right. I thought they were quite nice, really. I got on quite well with them. And I think it's that thing, isn't it, where someone is, you know, a secret policeman, you know, a burglar, like my nephew, or whatever, you know, and that's a label, you know.
Yeah.
A guerrilla person.
Yeah.
You know, that's a label that someone else has put on you.
Because
the guerrilla people don't call themselves guerrilla people. They're just people.
Yeah.
It's us who see them as guerrillas. You know? To them, maybe we're the guerrilla people is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, no. Phil, listen. The point I'm trying to make is, yes, a leopard can change its spots. Yes, black isn't always black. Sometimes it's white and you're just in a dark room. The point I'm trying to make is these secret policemen, I actually thought were really good fun.
Yeah.
And we ended up chatting about this and that. We got very drunk, you know. Tony was still in tears in the corner, you know. I'd really had enough of him by that point. I'd had enough of the whole Theatre of the Dicks thing, you know, because by that point I was just like, oh, who wants that?
Yeah.
I didn't get into this business to throw dog poo at people. I got into the business to be Desdemona, to be Cleopatra, Ophelia, you know? A gorilla person, maybe. I mean, that wasn't my priorities when I left Leicester. But I don't know. I hate Theatre of the Dicks. There we go. I've changed my mind. I think it's rubbish. You don't get an interval. There's no ice cream. You don't get a programme. It's literally just people being dicks.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. I said, look, look, Tony Trails, I've had enough of you. I laid into him. I gave this big speech about his stupid play, Fuck Starling, and I talked about what it was about and how ridiculous it was and the words and what he'd been saying and what he was trying to accomplish, you know, overthrowing the Russian, the Soviet government and all this stuff. And, of course, in the end, Tony was taken away and he's never been seen again.
Right.
But I...
Oh, right.
I have to say, yes. I feel... I yeah, but I feel... Yeah, they actually asked Stalin, well, not Stalin, because this was actually years after he died.
Yeah.
But whoever it was at the time, he was still Soviet, you know, it was pre Gorbachev.
Mm.
And whoever it was, you know, he'd actually asked if I wanted to stay, and I was offered the key to Moscow. But I said, no, I had an eight born in Swansea. I had to get back for it. I had to do it, really. Sadly, Tony Trails, never seen again.
Yeah.
It's really easy, I think, in life to blame yourself. You know, I think it's so easy to blame yourself. Wasn't Tony asking for that? I mean, why else would you do Theatre of the Dicks? I mean, what kind of dick would do something called Theatre of the Dicks where you deliberately try and irritate people, deliberately try and be a dick at people? Who'd do that?
Yeah.
A dick. So I think, really, I mean, wherever you are, Tony, I mean, I imagine he's long gone, you know. Because he was old then, you know, and very frail. He wouldn't have a gulag. A gulag, as I always used to say to him, Tony, a gulag wouldn't suit you.
No.
And we used to laugh about that. To Tony Trails. So, there we are. We perform this piece.
Mm.
A woman, an Italian woman, runs up to us going, Mamma mia, you know. So, I mean, don't know. Blah, 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 blah. Italian.
Mm.
You know, I grab her by the scruff of her neck and slap her, you know,
wow,
8 or 9 times.
Yeah.
Wake up, woman. What are you trying to say, for heaven's sake? Please, help me. Help me. You are American. No, I'm sorry. We're not American. We're British. We're like Americans, but we're a little less shouty and a little less uncouth. Mm. And also, we started it all.
Yeah.
You're a helper. More like that, wasn't it? You're a helper, me. My son, he is possessed by the devil. Well,
right.
Oh my goodness. So off we go, back to her villa, up into the attic. And there's a priest there, on Dominus Christi, Sanctus Dominus, priesty, you know. And we go in, and Sir Peter at this point is like, there better be some money in this, you know, because he was a real arse, really, to be honest. And there's this boy, he's on the bed, doing this weird tongues, speaking in tongues. Tongues. Speaking
tongues.
In tongues. You know?
Hmm.
Really terrifying stuff. And actually, I recorded some of it at the time because I used a dictaphone to remember words. Not lines, like actually words, because I'd forget, you know, bumblebee.
Oh, not Italian words?
No, just for, as you know, I think we've established, I'm not the brightest of sparks. So every now and again, I have to just record dragonfly, it's like a fly but big, you know, stuff like that. Scorpion, like a spider, but it's got a sting. So anyway, I recorded something. And actually, funnily enough, that was used by my very good friend, George Lucas, in
Brilliant.
Return of the Jedi. That was the... Yeah. If you listen, you can hear... It's not actually the sound of Ewoks. It's a demon.
Right.
Natural demon. So there, this kid's there, covered in sweat, you know. None of it his own. They're just throwing sweat on him. And he's gone kind of green. Oh, get out of the doors. I'm going to go about Skywalker. Which was... And then he's rustling away on these chains. The priests are going, oh, Dominus Christi, priesty. So I grab hold of this kid and I go, who am I talking to? And he went, oh, what are you talking about? And I was like, shut up, you idiot. Use words. I can't understand that. And he went, oh, the geese, you'll love it. And I went, no, I can't speak Italian. Speak English, demon. And he said, we are here. Well, I am here for your soul. Getting my soul.
Mm.
No way, because I don't have one. I sold my soul a long time for this body, this face, this craft.
Mm.
Okay, I gave my soul to Bill Shakes.
Yeah.
You know, to Brecht, to the National Theatre, to Akebourne in Swansea. I gave my soul to the craft, so you're not getting it. The demon, we know, is going, I will eat your soul. And I said, no, you will not. And he went, who are you? What are you? And I said, I am Anaman. Leave this boy. Leave this boy. And then, out of the cupboard, jumps Tony Trails. Claps.
Yeah.
Well done. Wow. You've just been... You didn't realise it, but you've just been the audience in Theatre of the Dicks.
It was Dick Theatre.
It was Dick Theatre all along. The whole thing had been a play within a play within a play within a play within a play. It's very clever. You know, we were doing a play, thinking we were doing a play, but actually this Italian woman had come up and she'd outplayed us.
Wow.
She'd double theatred us, you see. We've been double dicked, in a way.
I can see that.
Yeah. We were every hole was...
filled with
theatre dick, you know.
That's impressive.
And I thought that was wonderful. And that was actually how I met Tony Trails. The boy was an actor, the priests were actors, the dog. It was really good, you know.
That's great.
And Sir Peter was in on it. They all the company were in on it. And they said, happy birthday, Hannah Mann. It turned out it was my 25th birthday present. And that was lovely.
Great.
So many memories.
Yeah.
So many memories. Anyway, Sue Clinch is not well, as I said.
Oh, yeah.
But she reckons she's got everything.
Hmm.
She once said, Anna, I think I've got Ebola. I said, Sue, there's no way you've got Ebola. You've never left Chiswick.
But weren't you talking about going hunting?
Oh, yes. So so I went hunting.
With Sue Clinch.
For Sue Clinch.
Oh.
Because I forgot it was Easter. And I got to the house and the windows smashed. Her window smashed. I get to her house, her window smashed. The door's sort of hanging off. There's shit everywhere, all over the place, you know. And I go, God, she's been kidnapped. She's been kidnapped, you know, because someone must want her. I don't know who, but some idiot. Maybe it's someone, you know, maybe it's one of the cast of the Gorilla People getting their own back, you know, because she was nasty on set.
Really?
She was a real, because she was the chief gorilla person, you know, and she made sure everybody knew it. She really did. She was full on in character as well. You couldn't speak to, Sue wasn't there. You could only speak to the gorilla person.
Or even off stage?
Oh, constantly. All the time. She demanded, she said, I'm only doing this if I'm the gorilla person all the time, you know. And they were like, whatever, because no one really cared. You know, it was a very budget production. At one point, she bit the head off a sparrow. She was completely immersed. And that was during lunch. That was during a break. We're all having a fag. Sparrow lands on the wall. She just grabs it, bites the head off. I was like, Sue, wow, that is acting. That is acting. It was, you know, there's a point where acting stops being acting and becomes, I don't know, physics of a sort.
Sort of unnecessary.
Where it's gone beyond just, you know, a sort of shouty, needy person saying words to something more akin to, I don't know, the creation of the universe, you know, in a sense, in a way, or the fundamental forces of life. And that's what, when she did that gorilla person, she's never been good since, and I tell her that all the time. But that was a real moment, you know, that really, I've never really gone, I don't think I've ever gone as deep as that, apart from Christmas 2010 at the Co-op Grotto. I was Santa, and I, wow. You know, they had to forcibly remove me because things were getting really dirty. Yes, so Sue's gone. Window smashed, doors off, shit everywhere, everything thrown around, you know. Turned out someone had told her there was an Easter egg in her house and she'd just gone ballistic trying to find it and wrecked the whole joint. I mean, she's big, you know, she's a big girl. And I don't mean fat, I mean like a rhino. Really, we used to call her the rhino, you know, because watch out when she's coming for you. She doesn't do much most of the day. She just gets on her hands and knees and eats. But when she's pushed, get out of the way, because this girl's got horns, you know. That's what she used to say in all her auditions. And she never couldn't land a part because they'd say, well, that's not what we want. Well, that's the end of the show. Don't forget, I'm still on tour, colinholt.net. That's just a name I picked at random. Have a look, all the information's there.